News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. And as always, our phone number 704-570-1110. I want to welcome to the program right out of the box. We all know what we're going to talk about today. The raid at Mar-a-Lago. And I want to bring onto the show a very good friend of the program, Hogan Gidley, who joins us now. Hogan, I imagine you were as shocked as anybody else watching all of this unfold in the evening last night as the FBI descended on Mar-a-Lago and took a whole bunch of information, documents, boxes out. Certainly shocking. Your reaction to what you saw last night?
Well, I wasn't shocked. I was angry. I mean, after all, this is the same Federal Bureau of Investigation that has meddled in the last three elections, first lying in FISA courts to try and gin up charges against President Trump, colluding with Russia, which was fake. Then they turned around in the re-election of 2020 and decided that they would lie exclusively about Hunter Biden's laptop, saying that that wasn't really real. In fact, it was Russian disinformation, and now they're trying something else. The political motivation of this branch of government has been well documented at this point. The media writ large decided somewhere along the way that they were going to just jettison their curiosity in everything related to Republicans and toe the line of entities like Big Pharma, which I thought they were adamantly opposed to.
Right.
The three-letter agencies in D.C., the CIA, the FBI, et cetera, and, of course, the White House. They're just going to decide to let them run the show. So this whole thing has been ridiculous. There is no question, though, I have to say, it's an unprecedented weaponization of federal law enforcement
sure is.
Against a former president of the United States. I mean, their continuous, irrational, obsessive quest to destroy Donald Trump is really hurting the American people, because Americans don't want their taxpayer resources wasted on more political witch hunts. I mean, we've got historic spikes in crime and drugs pouring into the country and human trafficking, child smuggling, violent criminals just roaming the streets. The DOJ doesn't address any of that and instead runs to Mar-a-Lago and decides to take some documents from a safe.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is it's dangerous, because now it's taken this country into a place where if this egregious effort succeeds against Donald Trump, you better believe next, undoubtedly, they're coming after you and me.
You know what's incredible is if you're looking back at presidential elections or elections in general, our national elections in general, right? We haven't had a clean election since 2012 then, right? It's been a decade, because we had intervention in 2016, we had intervention in 20, and we've now had intervention in 2022. So it's been a decade since we had a straight, clean election.
Yeah, no, you're right. And if it's not one thing, it's another. I mean, if it's not meddling by the FBI and other deep state entities here in Washington, D.C., it's a complete revamping of the voting system just days before an election. Everyone claims, no, it's fine. And by the way, the deep state helped with that, too. So, you know, I think one of the interesting things Donald Trump ran on, of course, was build the wall, lock her up, and one of my favorites, drain the swamp.
That's absolutely right.
The swamp is deep. I just don't think we knew how deep it actually was. And so there are still some bottom feeders, down there, still, using the taxpayer dollars to enrich themselves and use the taxpayer dollars to go after office holders if they don't agree with their politics, which of course is not what they're supposed to do. So, going after a former president, and quite frankly, someone who could be a future president in
right.
this way, you take a shot at the king, you better hit him. Because if you don't, the backlash is going to be brutal.
Well, look, here's the reality of things. We now know that today they've ordered the release of his tax returns to the Democrats in the House and the Senate. We just watched the hiring of 87,000, or the announcement of the hiring of 87,000 IRS agents. Your level of concern at that, should every conservative be worried that we're going to be next as a result of this intelligence community that is obviously being run by some pretty bad dudes and a Department of Just Us run by Merrick Garland?
No question. Thank heavens Merrick Garland isn't on the Supreme Court right now. I mean, what a big move that ended up being. But look, to attack somebody in this way obviously is problematic for Donald Trump, for the right. It only makes people more angry, more upset, more divided. But the middle and the left are even expressing some concern about this as well, the left being the most shocking of those two groups, because they're understanding what's at stake here and what's at play here. You know, we take back the House in 2022. You better believe there's going to be a reckoning in these agencies. There better be. I'll just say
are we going to is it going to be allowed to happen with someone like McConnell at the helm in the Senate?
I don't know, yeah. But I mean, look, I think people are really concerned about this type of behavior,
yeah.
Because you know when they line up and go after the Donald Trumps of the world, the Peter Navarros of the world, the Roger Stones of the world, the Steve Bannons of the world, some on the left may cheer that. But then all of a sudden you also realize, wait a minute, you know, someone like Hillary Clinton not only had 30,000 emails, not only had an illegal server, not only possessing top secret classified information on that non-government server, she destroyed that information, destroyed those documents, and no one said a word in those agencies. I mean, let's not forget, it was this same media who within minutes of this raid was able to confirm all kinds of information,
right,
about what they seized, how they did it, how many agents, all this data and all this news coming out of these journalists, quote unquote. Those same journalists for more than a year and a half couldn't be bothered to shoot a text, an email, maybe even a phone call to those same sources in the FBI to find out if the Hunter Biden laptop was real. I mean, the juxtaposition of the haves and have-nots is really growing wider and wider in this country. And I don't mean monetarily.
Sure.
I mean the elites versus those not in power, wielding government, full government branches against political opponents, I think is a dangerous place for this country to go. And I would argue the folks on the right, the left, and the center better wake up, because if this is going to continue, they will come after you next. And these IRS agents, these 85,000 people say, no, they're going to go after the billionaires.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
4% of audits are on billionaires. The rest are mom and pops, small businesses, people making anywhere from $200,000 to $75,000 a year. They're coming after you, folks. And I don't mean to sound alarmist. I don't want to get all bent out of shape here.
No.
I'm just saying this is egregious behavior on behalf of the Department of Justice and the federal government. So I think there's going to be more information coming out here on what they did, how they did it, who gave them the authority. And now we find out the judge, for example, who signed off on this this warrant is the same judge that defended people in Jeffrey Epstein's circles, too. So, I mean, this whole thing just gets nastier as the more you look at it, and it begins to stink even heavier as the layers of the onion get peeled back.
Jay Hogan Gidley, appreciate you coming by on the program. Follow him on Twitter and keep in touch with us, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
You got it. That's Hogan Gidley. I'm Brett Witterbull. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. This is Boomer Von Cannon with a look at the rope. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. 704-570-1110. All right, let's talk about this raid. We just had Hogan Gidley on, and we have posted that interview. You'll be able to find it up on the WBT page. Here's the thing, though, that strikes me about this storyline. I'm of two minds about this. First one is they are desperate to get Trump to announce his candidacy to jump into this race in the hopes that it'll clear the field of people like DeSantis or Haley or anybody else who has an idea about getting into the race. That this is an effort to try to poke the bear to get him to get into the race. Now, you say to yourself, well, why would the Democrats want to bring him into the race? Because it would become all Trump all the time. J6 Talkapalooza would be happening from now until November. And you wouldn't have to hear about inflation. You wouldn't have to hear about profligate spending and the IRS and all that sort of stuff. Because you know, if President Trump, former President Trump, announced that he was going to get back in the race today or this week or next week or in 2 weeks, you know that the news coverage will be 100% coverage of Trump. And that will be the issue that this election is fought out on. That's the first thought I have about what it is we're seeing. The second thought I have about what it is we're seeing with the Mar-a-Lago raid is to look back for the last 2 or 3 weeks and divine what it is that they have been doing at the White House. Think about this. The CHIPS bill, they were signing that into law today. The bringing on additional NATO members, they signed that into law today. You know, they're going to do the $740 billion hoo-ha bill to employ more IRS agents to be deployed against you. That's going to be coming by the end of this week, beginning of next week. The killing of al-Zawahiri, right? The various sorts of challenges involving climate change and all of that. To me, it looks like this is sort of the final piece in this puzzle. This attack by Merrick Garland's FBI over in the Justice Department going after Trump in this way at Mar-a-Lago. I'm not convinced Joe Biden is going to remain the president much after the first of the year. There's a part of me that can foresee an LBJ situation where he says, I will not accept, nor will I will not run, nor will I accept nomination as Democrat for 2024. I can see him bailing out because he's really hit a high watermark now. He struck at Trump. He's spending like a maniac. All this sort of stuff is going on. I don't know where he goes from here. Or does he just shut it down after the midterms and try to kind of ride off into the sunset and hand the reins over to Kamala Harris and say, yeah, good luck. Let us know how it works out for you. To me, this feels like this has been a very compacted schedule to try to get stuff done. Now, as to what it was that happened yesterday at Mar-a-Lago, that is shocking. That is offensive. And I want to say something to the people who still remain out there as loyal fans and supporters of former President Trump. This is an attempt to demoralize you. And I think it's obviously going to have the reverse effect. I think it's obviously the other way that this thing is going to go. Because when you consider the dirty play that has gone on in this country for more than a decade. We have to go back to the 2009-2010 campaign where you had the IRS deployed against American citizens. Lois Lerner, I played the sound yesterday. Barack Obama saying he wanted to have an equivalent national security force that's equivalent to the U.S. military. Well, you've got it now. You've got that in place. You've got it in place, and it's operational right now. Look at what Merrick Garland did at the school board meetings, saying that parents were terrorists because they were concerned about the curricula. You look at that dummy, Chris Wray, and his testimony last week, acting like he never heard of these things, didn't know about it. What about the symbols? I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything. Yeah, he's as dumb as a fox. These are the people that view you with suspicion. These are the people that don't want you anywhere near power. These are the people that are comfortable behind barbed wire fences in Washington, D.C. And, you know, I heard a lot of talk and a lot of buzz overnight with people saying, oh, it's going to be a civil war. It's going to be a civil war. The national divorce is coming. It's not. Don't buy into it. It's not coming. But understand what it is that's happening here. Those people in Washington, D.C., and I'm talking about people in both parties, those people hate you. They hate you. And they can't wait to deploy those 87,000 IRS agents against your business, against your investments, against your kids' college funds, against your inheritances, all of it. Because what's going to happen between now and November of 2024 is going to be the most punitive time in American history since I'm willing to go to the 1860s. They're going to bring punishment against an entire swath of this country. And here's what they don't understand. They will go to bat for criminals. They will go to bat for gang members. They will go to bat for perverts and weirdos and billionaires and big tech and Chinese oligarchs and Russian oligarchs. They'll go to bat for them all day, every day. They'll never stand for you because they can't stand you. But the math doesn't lie. There's more of us than there are of them. And if we can keep things under control, strictly political, and can be disciplined about this, they will pay the price at the ballot box in November. Do not let them demoralize you. That is the plan. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993 WBT, and Erickson's got the update. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. This is a good question. I want to take this call from Sally straight up. Hey, Sally, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm a newbie. This is my first call, but I am fired up over this latest development.
Outstanding.
Okay, my question is, if this is a violation of some archive act, draconian act, Speaker Pelosi ripped up the State of the Union address in front of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not a copy for the Congress to place in their archives? Was that not some sort of archive document?
Well, Nancy Pelosi, the argument that people made was that she violated 18 U.S.C. 2071 when she ripped up the speech from the president, right, for the State of the Union address, and that's a claim that was made by a number of folks. However, the conclusion on this was, anything that comes out of the office of the president is a government document under the Presidential Records Act of 1978. The statute in question dealt with concealment, removal, or mutilation generally of records and reports. It set a penalty in that regard. It was to stop people from going into the National Archives or the courts and tearing things up. Pelosi was in the clear because her copy of the speech wasn't a government record. That's how they got her off that hook. It wasn't the official piece of the record that would go into the archive. That was her copy of that official piece of the record that wouldn't go into the archive. So
that explains it.
Yeah.
I thought since she was Speaker,
it's
of
a
the
great
House,
point.
That was the official document that went to Congress.
Yeah. It's a great point, though. But what they're doing with the president is there's a separate statute that only applies to presidents, which is the Presidential Records Act. And they're trying to say he tore up papers and flushed them and did whatever with them. And so he's going to face jeopardy. He's going to face jeopardy because, you know, he tore up official copies of the Presidential Records Act. But we don't even know what we don't know if those were originals, if those were copies. He could have 50 copies of everything that he had in his house. I mean, who knows what's going to end up happening? We don't even know what he had.
These people are desperate. They're going to the bottom of the barrel to try to find anything
without
this wonderful president.
I'm glad you called in today, and you're a really good caller, and I think you should call in on occasion. You should call in as often as you feel that you want to be a part of the discussion there, Sally. I do appreciate that.
I appreciate you, Brent. Thank you.
You're great. You're also the call of the day.
Hello.
Yo, guys. How you doing?
Congratulations. You're the caller of the day. Brought to you by High Performance Real Estate Advisors.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't be the caller of the day, too. I am able to spot talent. I can spot talent from a distance, and I could hear she had passion, she had a great question, she had a phenomenal take, and that's why I dubbed her the caller of the day. I mean, that's just because the caller of the day is early doesn't mean you can't be a caller of the day too. Everybody has an opportunity. This is not a zero-sum game. Just because TJ has $1 million doesn't mean that Tommy can't have $1 million or I can't have $1 million. I mean, that's how we get to this bottom line here, folks. All right. Here's what I want to talk about. This is a hugely important point, and it's not one that I have seen developed anywhere else in the media. But you will probably hear this at some point, I predict it. You will hear this on like a Newsmax or a Fox News or a Fox Business. Let's go back in time. So Ron Klain has been at Joe Biden's hip since at least the 90s, maybe the late 80s, but definitely since the 90s. Now, given that Ron Klain has been at Biden's hip since the 1990s, isn't it safe to assume that he would know about Huntergate and quid pro quo Joe and the Chinese deals and the Russians and the Mr. Big? Wouldn't you expect that Ron Klain, who's his chief of staff, would know about this? So I want you to close your eyes. Not if you're driving. Don't. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. But assuming you're at home and you're relaxing with some tea. Imagine it's now 2025 and there's Ron Klain. He's got his man bun up and he's relaxing. He's got his slippers on and he's at his house. And all of a sudden the FBI comes a knocking on the door for Ron Klain and goes, Ron. Yeah, Ron, we got these papers for you. We want to go through your records. We're totally raiding your house. What do you mean? What are you talking about? I'm on the right side. No, you're out of power. You're out of power, and now you got a different president who's got an R after his name, and he's decided that, you know what, you were probably involved in some dirty dancing, some lambada with the truth, and we wanted to have the FBI come in and raid your house and search your place and find out what you got. Is that not entirely possible? Don't you find it strange that nobody has ever asked Ron Klain? You were with Joe Biden. You were so close to Joe Biden. You were like lint. You were like lint on his suit. You didn't know about Mr. Big and the 15%? You don't know? See, this is how this all can turn, folks. One day you're up, you're riding high on top of the world. The next day, you're in the Gray Bar Motel. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993-WBT. And you know that Gray Bar Motel, Boomer?
You can check in, but never leave.
That's it, man. It's 24 hours, and there's no room service.
Oh, no.
They're going to x-ray that cake that came in for you, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't be taking a hacksaw knife and trying to... you're no great escape. You're not dumping sand in the yard.
Welcome to the hotel.
Welcome to the... How we doing out there on the roadway? News Talk, 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Folks have been patiently holding on. We're going to have Kurt Schlichter come by beginning of this next hour. But first, let's say hi to Jerry. Hello, Jerry. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brent. Long time since I talked to you. Last time, I think, was March 2020.
Holy cow, I was a newbie. I was just new. Holy cow, thank you for calling.
Yeah, and hey, here's my theory. Mm-hmm. Given that what we know about the FBI and their charades with the kidnapping of the Michigan governor, mm-hmm. Given the lies that James Cromie, has told,
right?
What's to keep the FBI from just taking this so-called evidence they're trying to find, just bringing it right on in with them and saying, ha-ha, we got it?
Nothing. I mean, we don't know what was in there. We don't know what was in the house or in Mar-a-Lago. They could do whatever they want. Remember, it was Chuck Schumer that told you the intel community had six ways from Sunday to get even with the president.
Exactly.
You know, and that was ominous at the time. But you look at that, and you're very much right. I mean, they could have anything in there. They could.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is what's frightening about this state of affairs, because we're used to seeing countries in South America or part of Europe or Asia where people prosecute former presidents, right? Well, now if this is the new thing that we're dealing with now, if this is the new standard, well then get ready, Joe Biden. Because my guess is come 2025, 2026, you may be standing in the dock. have an answer. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Hey, listen, I've got a quick question. Well, more of a statement, I guess.
Sure.
It's been a while since I talked to you last also.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
Yes, sir. Question would be, I'd like for someone at BT, WBT, to pose a question to Chris Swecker for his opinion. And the question would be something of this nature. When Hillary Clinton and her email scandal, they sent two FBI agents.
That's right.
They knocked on her door, could we get your laptop? She released the laptop. They took it with them. They were able to analyze 33 or 35,000 emails within a couple of 3 weeks, and Comey came out and made his statement, and he gave the breakdown. Well, we had 434 that were classified, 18,000 that weren't classified, 12,000 that were personal, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that the FBI has now had Hunter Biden's laptop for 35 months?
Yeah.
It had 145, I believe, suspicious transactions.
That's right.
That had been reported as suspicious involving money transfers. You had Hunter talking about in emails to friends talking about how the big man gets 10% out of his check.
Yep.
And you've got the big man, he had to pay for the big man's phone bill, and he had to pay for the big man's renovations on his home. They can't close a case in 35 months on a laptop that you had, but yet you could do Hillary Clinton's 33,000 emails in a couple of weeks. I don't get it.
Well, we know Hillary Clinton has a magical power. You know how we know she has a magical power? Because remember when they found the Rose Law Firm records just sitting
right.
It was sitting on the pantry in the green room or whatever it was. They just said, "Oh, son of a gun, that's where we put them." They just showed up right there. And
well, I guess my only point was this obviously shows that the
of course
is political. It's
of
not
course
political. It's political.
Peter Strzok and Strzok and Page. You know, they were doing the ha-cha-cha, and nothing ever happened to them. And they exchanged text messages about, I want to believe what Andy was telling us, and we want to make sure we're going to stop him. And Peter Strzok texts, don't worry, we'll stop him. And it's like, well, what happened? Nothing. I mean, literally nothing has happened. It's really incredible. But, man, if you were within a mile of the Capitol on January 6th, man, they're showing up at your house and they're putting you in the wagon. They're
going to
cuff
you. Didn't come up and show up at anybody's houses that ripped down these monuments. That was okay.
No, absolutely not. Or trying to take down a federal courthouse for a year and a half in Portland. I mean,
that's right. Those people's pictures were not posted all over billboards all over
correct.
The city of Portland.
This is why. Now, this is why I use the phrase. I don't say the Justice Department. I say the Just Us Department, because they will take care of just us, but they will not take care of the rest of the people. And that's it.
True.
This is the ultimate inside job, my friend. Dave, you're a great call, and you need to call me more often because I like your take.
Thank you.
You got it, buddy. That's Dave. I mean, he's 100% right on that. 100% right on. And this is what's happening. Okay, you just heard a first time caller, and you heard two people that were return callers who hadn't been on in a while. You know what that tells me? That tells me they have awakened. As my friend Don, my unofficial advisor Don, pointed out to me in a text message, he says, remember General Yamamoto's words from World War II? I'm afraid we awoken a sleeping giant. I think you might have. I think you might have. Now let's see what happens next. 704-570-1110. Kurt Schlichter comes by next. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Great to be here with you. And I'm happy to welcome to the program, he's a Army veteran, He is a lawyer. He is one heck of a writer and puts up with absolutely no nonsense at all from the left. He is Kurt Schlichter, and he's got a brand new book out that I want you to get. We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. It's a tremendous book, and I want to welcome him to the program on this, the day after the outrage and the shocking raid on Mar-a-Lago. Kurt Schlichter, so let me ask you this. Is this raid the fall or the rise? What are we looking at in front of us?
Well, I think, Brett, I think it definitely has to fall in the fall category. I think we rise again, but the people who did this need to be held accountable. Bad guys need to feel the full weight of the new rules that they invented.
Did you ever think it would get this bad this fast? I mean, we're going about minding our business here, and all of a sudden the FBI shows up at Mar-a-Lago, and they're grabbing boxes of paper, and they're just heading on out, and nobody wants to comment on this. Nobody wants to say a word about this. This is positively Lula-esque out of Brazil or something in the old days of Argentina. What are we seeing?
We're seeing the disintegration of the norms. The problem is the people doing the disintegrating don't understand the norms are there to protect them. They're not going to be when they need them. They are opening the Overton window for very, very tough conservatives, and we are going to see fewer and fewer of this noodle spine Mitt Romneys and a lot more of the Ron DeSantis type, the guys who are perfectly willing to use political power harshly and ruthlessly to protect the people from this kind of abuse by the ruling class.
And when we look at this and we combine this with what we just saw take place over the weekend, the announcement of the hiring of 87,000 new IRS agents, is the deep state just going to run every policy through the IRS and use them as the enforcement mechanism? Or are we now seeing a sort of an interior ministry take shape?
Well, look, I mean that's clearly their dream. I mean, they need 87,000 new IRS people to take on those 1,000 billionaires you hear so much about, as if nobody audits billionaires now. Here's the thing. The Republicans are going to take back the House and the Senate. I think that's baked in. Are they going to refuse to fund the government if that's what it takes to get rid of this expanded fascist bureaucracy? I mean, are they willing to draw the line and cause pain? And there are a lot of Republicans who just wish we could go back to normal, you know, the John Boehner types.
Right.
Who just want to clink their glasses, eat steak with donors, and not be bothered with, you know, issues that people care about. But issues will be thrust upon them. People do care. People are angry. This is a mobilizing event. You saw with the Dobbs thing, the left was, now the Democrats are excited. Now they're ready to vote. What do they think this is? And it's not just right-wing Republicans. Even Andrew Cuomo was like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh. Because this is an oh-my-gosh moment. And they better not think for a minute that the next guy elected president is not going to do it to them. And he should. They need to feel pain. This can't be, you got to give me. Nope. I want retribution. Not just because it's fun. It is fun. But because they've got to learn. If you screw with us, you're going to suffer. And you're going to suffer worse than you ever made us suffer.
So if the Republicans take back the House and they take back the Senate, we know Kevin McCarthy's gone on the record in the last 12 to 18 hours saying, okay, this has got to, something's going to change here, and we're going to do something about this. But what do you do with the McConnells and the Romneys and the Collinses and the voices of reason like Ben Sasse who come out and say, oh, no, we can't do that. That's the mob. We can't be part of the mob.
Sasse is a sissy, and I don't have a problem with Susan Collins because she never pretended to be anything but what she was. She was a very moderate Maine Republican. That's who she is. I'm not offended that that's who she is. I'm offended that Sasse pretends he's a hardcore conservative. Mitt Romney, he's useless. He's 180 pounds of mayonnaise poured in a $5,000 suit. Mitch McConnell is an interesting character. We owe him a great debt for not allowing Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, they voted for him for Attorney General. He's been losing a step. He used to be the greatest parliamentary knife fighter there was, no matter how frustrating he was to all of us. Now he, I don't know. He should take the lead on this, but it, you know, he really doesn't like Trump.
Now is
and
you?
And that's a problem.
Kurt Schlichter.
I don't know how long. I don't know how long it goes before his sell-by date hits. But he better, you know, if he wants his reputation back, he better get back, because right now Schumer's laughing at him, because Schumer, he got made a fool of by Schumer.
Yeah.
And that's got to be insulting, because Schumer's no Einstein.
Yeah, that's the truth. If you were advising the president, former President Trump, would you advise him to get in the race ASAP so that you wall off any sort of assault by Garland? Okay.
No. It doesn't wall off anything. And it brings up all sorts of other problems. First of all, it's not assured that he's actually going to run. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, you know, getting in now kind of changes everything. It's not the way Trump is. Trump would ideally not want to get in until next summer.
Right.
If then, because he wants to build excitement. He is a showman. He wants to build excitement for this thing and see where it takes him. And I think he would love a coronation. He shouldn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
We need a vigorous primary to figure out who's our best. I like Trump. Sure. Wrote a book defending him.
Sure.
Would vote for him if he was a nominee. But I don't know if I'm going to vote for him in the primary, because I haven't seen a primary fight yet, and I think we need that.
Yeah.
He made some mistakes as president. He's got weaknesses. I want to know. I want him tested. Same thing with DeSantis. DeSantis is, you know, DeSantis has no national experience other than being in Congress. Is he ready for this? Florida, great job. Everybody loves him.
Sure.
What does he think about foreign policy? I have a feeling he's probably pretty solid. But I want to hear, because I don't trust nobody.
All right, final question for you. Is it going to get hotter now after this raid? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Remember, there is no bottom. This is not something they can be talked out of. They have to be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we defeat them is to take the House, take the Senate, take the presidency, and then ruthlessly root them out, not only of the government, but of institutions.
Yeah.
I would love to see, hey, guys, no more student loans. You guys get to pay for it all yourself.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, no.
That would be
because I'm not why should we subsidize festering pustules of enemies?
Well, listen, Kurt, they'll call that a hate crime by denying them their student loans. My gosh.
Of course they will.
All right, the book.
The power is to not care.
No, that's the truth. The book is phenomenal. We'll be back. The Fall and Rise of America. He's Kurt Schlichter. Appreciate you coming by, my friend. Be well, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. That's Kurt Schlichter. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. He brought the straight fire there, Boomer.
Hey, he brought it big time. Yes, sir. Deep from left field, man. Love it.
That's it. Out on the West Coast. Out on the West Coast. How are we on the roads? Are we moving along, or are we slow and slow? News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Come a little closer. Do you know that when I was picking the song I was going to use for my show, I almost used this and not Kickstart My Heart?
I think you made the right choice.
704-570-1110. Now I got a question for you folks out there. This is a serious question, and it's one that I admit and I acknowledge may carry with it some triggering mechanisms. So let me ask you this question. I want you to go back to the election night of 2020. And we were here in studio. We were covering the results that were coming in. I want an honest answer from you. Were you angrier when Fox called Arizona for Biden on election night? Or were you angrier last night when you found out Mar-a-Lago got raided? What was the higher level of anger for you? Was it back when Fox called Arizona for Biden, or the raid at Mar-a-Lago? And, I'm just curious, because I know you're going to have to teleport yourself back in time to think about how mad you were. A lot of people were very mad. I remember getting the calls in the days afterwards. And there was Brett Baer and Martha McCallum, and they're like, hey, we're calling it for Biden. And you could feel the thunderbolt go across the country. I'm just wondering if it was right there in line with how mad you were with the raid on Mar-a-Lago. It's just a question I have. And look, there is no right or wrong answer. There's only the answer that you can give me. New York Times has an op-ed piece out, and here's what they're saying. Hey, there's no recession yet, but we are in a vibe session of sorts. Have you ever heard of a vibe session? I've never heard of a vibe session. Kyla Scanlon of the New York Times op-ed section. The economy is the story of what people do, how we spend money and time, the quantitative and qualitative aspects of our existence. When the story becomes too noisy to interpret, people begin to expect the worst. Conflicting narratives about the state of the economy are colored by conflicting interpretations of those narratives, while discerning what is actually happening in the economy becomes near impossible. What people expect can soon end up happening, and right now, with worsening data, many people's expectations have come together to expect a recession. And those expectations could very well lead to one. Now, think about this. She's saying that you can visualize a recession into the economy. Gross domestic product shrank in the second quarter of 2022, continuing a downturn from the quarter before. These GDP figures were the icing on the cake of bad news. A 9.1% surge in the consumer price index, skyrocketing home prices, a softening labor market, as evidenced by an increase in jobless claims. Economic indicators are a Jackson Pollock painting of data points and trends. Let me translate that for you. Jackson Pollock, he would stand in front of a canvas and throw paint all over it, and it would just splashing and splattering. So she's trying to be like, you know, super metro and say that economic indicators are like a Jackson Pollock painting of data points and trends. If you think hard enough about all of them, they begin to make a bit of sense. But there's a lot to interpret. Economists have baseline theories about what the economy should do, but a pandemic, a war, and supply chain woes have widened the gap between the reality of economic data and people's experiences of that reality. Wait a minute. The number one talking point that you ever get from eggheads at Ivy League colleges is perception is reality. If you are perceived to be a threat, you are a threat. If you are perceiving that the economy is soft, the economy is soft. Wait, now she's trying to bail out on that? Well, if we're not careful, flawed assumptions, what John Maynard Keynes, I love him as the lead singer of Tool, called animal spirits, or what the economist Fisher Black called, quote, noise, will fill the gap and fulfill our worst expectations. This is all a fancy way for this writer to come out and say, we still don't know that it's technically a recession, but it's all going to depend on how you feel, and how you feel is totally valid, unless, of course, you think it's a recession and you don't acknowledge that Joe Biden is the greatest president in American history. Please. Many blame inflation on corporate price gouging. And there's definitely a kernel of truth to that. However, many corporations' earnings expectations are plummeting as they also struggle with higher production costs and people not buying their stuff, which is recessive. Several retailers are entering an environment where their inflation becomes deflationary as the excess inventory they ordered to battle supply chain uncertainty is now marked down in an attempt to sell it. And that's called the market. Hey, nobody wants to buy my Jackson Pollock painting. Nobody wants to buy that. So what do we say we mark down the price? Can we do that? A budget constraint to both consumers and corporations is a lack of necessities like natural gas and oil. When energy prices go up, everything else has to go up in price. And that can result in a double cost impact for consumers. Wow, this does not sound like a very strong economy there, my friend. My friend, this does not sound like a very strong economy. The Federal Reserve is the ultimate vibe setter in both good times and bad. They're going full Fast and Furious mode to battle inflation. The Fed's main tool now is to worsen the overall vibes, managing demand and raising rates and making it more expensive for people to buy things. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Yes. Yes. And now you've got the Biden administration taxing everything. You got to be kidding me. It's ridiculous. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Ladies and gentlemen, Anna Erickson with the update. News Talk 1110-993-WBT, Brett Waterville Show. In moments, I'm going to tell you what rich people are doing when it comes to eating out. You'll be a little bit surprised. But first, let's talk to Dan. Dan, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, Brett. I'm good. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call. I love your show. It's always insightful. But, you know, I would say to you and comment on this thing in Mar-a-Lago this way. This has been going on for years. And unfortunately, a lot of the folks out there just can't remember back to a fellow by the name of Randy Weaver when the FBI descended on Idaho.
Sure.
And took over his place at Ruby Ridge and killed his wife and son.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Weaver would later see him in court, and he was awarded several $1 million just to go away. David Koresh and his band of gypsies down there in Waco,
mm-hmm.
ATF and FBI totally took that under control with Janet Reno's assistance.
Yeah.
And we saw on Front Row TV each and every day about how that was going to play out and how it eventually did. All those people dead at the hands of the government.
Well, you know,
it's been going on way too long, and unfortunately, all under liberal administrations.
Well, here's the thing: when you talk about the Ruby Ridge case, the analog to that, in some ways, though not with the outcome, is the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping case, because they were going up to Randy Weaver and trying to get him to modify a weapon into an illegal weapon, a weapon that would be out of bounds. And he was resistant to do it. Then he did it. They cajoled him into doing it. And then that was when all hell broke loose. And this is the sort of stuff that, I mean, let's be honest, in the bad old days of the FBI, they pulled a lot of stuff like this. I mean, we're talking about surveilling Martin Luther King and taping his conversations and doing that. I mean, this is an agency that's very aggressive, much more aggressive than people ever realize.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's driven an awful lot by the political system behind it.
Very much so.
There's no getting around that.
Very much so.
I just thought I'd throw those out there. This is 30, 40 years of at least my lifetime of watching this just run amok.
Yeah. And there's never oversight.
Go ahead.
There's never oversight. You don't have the hearings where there's actually reform that takes place, you know, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
And if you don't have reform take place, if there isn't a cost to government acting illegally, then they're going to continue to do what they do. I'm sorry, you said you're a veteran, Dan?
Yeah, retired Navy, and, you know, it really hits at the core.
Oh, for sure.
When you see this stuff go on, I've been to a lot of ramp ceremonies where we sent guys home who paid the ultimate to fight for a group of these idiots, basically.
Yeah.
But they were their brothers, and we'll remember them, and they're the true patriots, not these clowns we send to Washington.
That's absolutely correct. I appreciate you, Dan, and I appreciate your service, and God bless those men and women who have come before and have made that ultimate sacrifice for us. We need to be more worthy of it.
Take care, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, buddy. That's Dan checking in. It's a very important point. Susan, welcome to the program. Hello, Susan. Hello, Susan. Hold on. I'm going to put her on hold because she's going to then turn her radio down. Hold on. Okay. Let me give you this. So we're looking at all these different challenges that are happening out there. We're facing a lot of different challenges. But one of the things that we're still dealing with is the fallout from the Epstein case. Judge Bruce Reinhart, who is the magistrate that approved the search at Mar-a-Lago yesterday, He is reported to be the judge behind the warrant authorizing the raid on Mar-a-Lago, is a former attorney who represented employees of convicted sex offender and notorious pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. This is reporting in a number of different outlets. The National Pulse, in this case, is reporting this. They also reveal that Judge Reinhart had donated to the campaigns of former President Barack Obama and to the establishment opponents of Donald J. Trump during the 2016 election, including Jeb Bush. Politico, the news outlet closest linked to the establishment in D.C., named Reinhart in their morning playbook email on Tuesday, the 9th of August, 2022. The reporting goes like this. Who signed the warrant? A source said FBI agents obtained a search warrant from a federal magistrate in West Palm Beach. Report the Miami Herald's Alex Rorty and Michael Wilner and Jay Weaver. According to its website, the West Palm Beach location of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida has three magistrates, Judge Bruce Reinhart, Judge William Matthewman, and Judge Ryan McCabe. The court's online database shows two recent warrant applications, both assigned to Reinhart, were entered into its system on Monday, though information about the targets of those warrants are sealed. As reported by the Miami Herald, Judge Reinhart began representing Epstein's employees on January 2, 2008, just one day after departing the U.S. Attorney's office, where he was an assistant U.S. attorney who worked closely on the convicted pedophile's case. Accused of leveraging inside information about Epstein's investigation to curry favor with Epstein in 2011, he was named as a prosecutor who allegedly violated the rights of an underage girl whom Epstein solicited sex from in the Crime Victims Act lawsuit. Reinhart appears to have exploited his role in the U.S. Attorney's Office to launch a private criminal defense practice. Reinhart insisted that he never represented Epstein himself, only Epstein's pilots, his scheduler, and described some of the victims as Epstein's sex slaves. Reinhart also participated in Newsmax interviews appearing to defend Epstein by downplaying allegations of financier associates soliciting underage prostitutes. See, the swamp doesn't just sit in D.C. The swamp goes everywhere. The swamp goes everywhere. The swamp is ubiquitous. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Let's head on over. Boomer Von Cannon on a rainy afternoon. How are we doing on the road? News Talk 1110-993 WBT. CNN with this. Cash-strapped consumers are starting to trade down, swapping higher-priced goods for more affordable alternatives. That's good news for Applebee's and IHOP. In the 3 months ending June 30th, sales at the two chains, who were both owned by Dine Brands, grew by about 6 to 8% among households earning over $75,000. The bump suggests to us that guests that often dine at more expensive restaurants are finding Applebee's and IHOP because of their well-known value position, Peyton said during a Tuesday analysts call. So wealthy people are now eating at IHOP and Applebee's. The economy's awesome. The economy is absolutely awesome. Applebee's tries to avoid straight discounts. Instead, it offers deals on meal add-ons. Like, they'll give you a dozen shrimp for a dollar when you order a steak. Another tactic, TJ, giving out freebies. As part of a Top Gun promotion earlier this year, Applebee's customers who spent at least $25 at the restaurant got free movie tickets. At IHOP, customers can find discounted items at the brand's IHOPPY Hour. That starts at 3 p.m. at participating restaurants when entrees, snacks, and sides are sold at a lower price than usual. There are also limited-time promotions, for example, that allow kids to eat for free. It's the IHOPPY Hour. TJ, have you ever been to the IHOPPY Hour?
I can't say I have.
Excuse me, can I get a picture of Rumplemintz with the pancakes? I don't think so. I'm guessing that that's going to be extra.
That's Is Applebee's the home of the Dollarita?
I don't know. I'm going to have to double-check my notations here. Wait a minute. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on, TJ. Mr. Restaurant Review. Wait a minute.
Are you saying I should know this?
This should be in your Rolodex of restaurants.
I don't go to Applebee's.
Well, maybe you should start.
Maybe I should.
It's apparently affordable. You can get tickets.
Tickets to Applebee's?
No, tickets to the Top Gun movie. Oh, they were doing it at one point. They're not doing that now.
Well,
Might be tickets to something else now.
They went downhill after their walls stopped looking like an antique shop.
Do you take in the decor of the restaurant when you're eating?
Yeah, really? You have to.
I just strap the feed bag on and I go.
You just go.
I don't. They could be sanding. They could be using a belt sander, and they could be spackling the walls. And I'm just gonna eat. I'm gonna eat the soup.
The decor is very important to me.
For real?
Yeah, very.
See, you're not of an age that I remember. And there was a very fancy thing they used to do back when I was a very small person. And it was these little individual lamps on the fancy restaurant tables.
Oh, yes.
It was like your own lamp, and you could pull the little string, and it would, and no, it was not a bunch of little legs like from the Christmas Story lamp. It wasn't leg lamps. It wasn't that at all. JJ, welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Hello, JJ.
Yeah, that's me.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. I just had a comment about the raid.
Please.
I think that whatever was left of the FBI's credibility just went out the window permanently. And I think it's probable that raid team has planted evidence. And that evidence is going to be intended to take down Trump and take down the Republican Party mm-hmm. in November.
Do you think the Republican establishment wants Trump to be still in the picture?
Half of them do.
Yeah.
But they're only the rhinos.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you on that one. Okay. Thanks, JJ. I appreciate that call. It's a good take. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Brett. The only hoppy hour TJ wants involves IPAs, but that's a whole different story.
Oh, it's a different kind of hoppy hour. That's right there. Hello.
Anyway, how's it going, TJ? No, the fallout from the raid, they're going to hang Trump with some sort of indictment before Labor Day is my prediction.
Wow.
And when they do that,
yes, sir.
All these candidates that have been endorsed by Trump that have been trouncing their opposition mm-hmm. are now going to be hung with the idea that they are being backed by the only president that was ever federally indicted. And they're going to make that albatross stick, and it's going to be the justification for Antifa and BLM to make their presence known at their various campaign stops.
Wow. Holy, you've like totally mapped this out. I mean, that's next level.
It's what I do.
I appreciate you being out there.
Bye.
Bye. That's Mark. He laid out the whole vision. That's a lot. Stan, welcome to the show, Stan.
Hey, I was talking about, you know how they're trying to say we're not in a recession because they've created the 520,000 jobs, which was more than expected.
Yes.
The bottom line is what's happened is because of inflation,
yep.
most people won't take those jobs. I look on Indeed, like I get stuff that comes across my desk, and most of those jobs don't pay any more than $20 an hour, and that won't even hardly feed you. Like in L.A. right now, only 11% of people can actually afford a home. So why would somebody work for less of what it takes them to actually live on? Plus, the fact that government giveaways are competing with those wages. And so at some point, those jobs will never be filled.
You want to hear something unbelievable? Here's something that's unbelievable. So in California, if you own real estate, so you own a house or a condo or something like that, if the state of California faces a default on their debt, for whatever reason, right? Like they're gonna go under.
Right.
It is in their constitution that they can seize homes and liquidate them to satisfy the debt for the state.
So much for private property rights, huh?
Yeah, it's optional. There's a lot of optional there, man.
Well, where we're headed is they want us all to be renters from Democratic donors.
That is true, and they want us all renting from Blackstone.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Who has the biggest interests of all in the CCP? Great stuff. Stan brings it every day, and you're able to do it as well straight ahead. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
I'm not from down here, okay? I'm from Hollywood, and I want to have the respect that I deserve. When I come here, I want people to respect me because I am a star.
It was just under 24 hours ago that we learned about the raid on Mar-a-Lago. What is your biggest takeaway from this story, the way it emerged in the last almost 24 hours? I'll tell you what mine was and what mine is. You are never going to be able to fully defeat the deep state or the entrenched people that are in the agencies of government. It's just not possible. It's not possible. It's a wonderful thing to strive to do, but it just isn't possible. You can only contain them. It's the sort of thing that becomes a chronic condition. This idea that these folks get together and they are going to meet up in agencies around Washington, D.C. and in state capitals, and they're going to conspire and they're going to figure out the best ways to stick it to the people that pay their salaries. It's really shameful when you think about it. I have no doubt that there are people with a great deal of honor and integrity who do serve as public servants. But I also know that more than likely than not, there are a lot of Strzokin pages out there. There's a lot of Adam Shifty Schiffs, Colonel Vindman, Eric Charamella, Jamie Raskins, Chuck Schumers, Mitch McConnells, you know, these people, John Cornyn's, these people who are loyal only to each other in the way that mafia members are loyal to the family. We'll never be in the family. You'll never be in the family. It's just the way it is. And so what we have to do is work to contain the damage. Right now, we are within about 88 days of the election. We have an eye towards what's going to happen on that day. And it's awfully interesting that in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you've started to see a big fade when it comes to Omicron and COVID. I haven't seen Fauci in a month of Sundays, and I don't miss the little troll a bit. And what of monkeypox? Why, for a while, it was monkeypox coverage wall-to-wall on every cable channel. What has become of monkeypox? It seems that once things got underway with Biden pulling his plans, those issues have kind of dissipated. And we're left looking back at what it was that happened last night, what is, I believe, the weaponization of the justice system, but it's not the first time. It's just the latest iteration. For context, I want to take you back to what Chuck Schumer said on the eve of the inauguration of Donald Trump. Because this was a threat not just aimed at Donald Trump. It was really aimed at you because you voted the wrong way. Schumer and Rachel Maddow were chatting. This is cut 108. Chuck Schumer and Rachel Maddow were talking, and this is where Chuck Schumer makes the flippant comment about the intelligence community getting even with the president of the United States, and he kind of snickered about it.
Let me ask you, I don't know if you have seen this. I don't want to blindside you with this. This is the latest statement, latest tweet, as you were just saying, the president-elect's latest yeah. unsolicited pronouncement on the intelligence community. This was his tweet just a little while ago tonight. You see the scare quotes there. The yeah. intelligence briefing yeah. on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday, perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. We're actually told, intelligence sources tell NBC News since this tweet has been posted, that actually this intelligence briefing for the president-elect was always planned for Friday. It hasn't been delayed. Look. But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. this taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them. And we need the intelligence community. We don't know what's going on. Look at the Russian hacking. Without the intelligence community, we wouldn't have discovered it.
Do you think he has an agenda to try to dismantle parts of the intelligence community? I mean, this form of taunting hostility.
Whether you're a super liberal Democrat or a very conservative Republican, you should be against dismantling the intelligence community.
Nobody was in favor of dismantling the intelligence agencies, okay? Nobody was in favor of that at all. But can I put the big lie to what these people told you back in 2017? Can I give you the lie? Remember, they would throw this number around. They would say 17 agencies of the intelligence community all agree the Russians were part of the hacking. Or they hacked the election. First of all, they're full of bovine excrement because I went and I looked at the list of who is in the intelligence community, the 17 agencies in the intelligence community. I'm going to read you the list because if they were willing to lie about all the agencies were on board with this, then they're willing to lie to you about everything that they talk to you about. These are the agencies in the intelligence community. Now you tell me, I'll read them all. You tell me which ones are likely to have an interest in Russian, quote, hacking. Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Sure. Central Intelligence Agency. Okay. National Security Agency. Yep. Defense Intelligence Agency. Okay. National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. National Reconnaissance Office. Department of State. Department of Defense. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Investigation. Okay, I mean, probably would believe that those would be agencies that would care about Russian hacking. Drug Enforcement Administration. No. No. Department of Homeland Security. Maybe. Treasury? Don't think so. Department of Energy Intelligence. Army Intelligence. Air Force Intelligence, Navy Intelligence, Marine Corps Intelligence, Coast Guard Intelligence. All of those agencies were dialed in on Russian hacking? Chuck Schumer is a provable liar. People quite literally pretend to take phone calls if they see him approaching them, just so they don't have to talk to that guy. And you know, when I heard him say at the time that Donald Trump was acting foolishly, that the intelligence community had six ways from Sunday to get even with him. Well, my thoughts immediately ran back to Dallas and a Democrat president. And then I thought to myself, no, they'll go for 1,000 cuts and try to kneecap the American people because Chuck says and Nancy says. And Mitch says, and Barack Obama said, and Biden said. News Talk, 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Witterbull, Bo Thompson. Good to be back together with you, Bo Thompson. How are you this beautiful afternoon?
I'm doing well. Always good to be with you.
Always good to be with you as well. And I am glad that we are crossing the streams. It is... It's good to look at some of the stories that are out there. Have you seen the coverage? It's been in a number of outlets about this about why the weather has been so hot this year and why we've had the weather that we have had in this last few months. Have you seen? They're pointing to the Hunga Tonga Hunga Hapai eruption from back in January. Back on January 15th, they're out in the Pacific Ocean, sending tons of water into the stratosphere, and that has changed the climate around the world.
Now, see, I've lived in Charlotte all my life. Mm-hmm. This doesn't seem to me like an abnormally hot summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an abnormally hot summer around here, to me, means like successive weeks of over 100 degrees. And there was and I'm going to answer your question. Hang on.
Sure.
Thing, like 2 or 3 years ago, we had a triple-digit day, like right at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think of abnormal summers here with, you know, associated with late or early high temperatures or weeks upon end. To me, there's only been 1 or 2 weeks this whole summer where I would say we were in like really scorcher mode. So, so I've heard people talk. I haven't heard that explanation that you just mentioned. And you know, I talked to Ray Stajic in the morning a good bit whenever I have weather questions, and I have not heard that. But if we're talking about global,
yes,
you know, United States, then I guess that's one thing. But here in Charlotte, you know, to me, this hasn't been that bad as far as what I'm used to.
Well, I I mean, that's certainly possible here locally to a smaller extent. But like you've had in the middle of Texas and the Midwest, you know, these 100 days without rain and things like that. NASA scientists are looking at this and they're saying, and there's a reason why I'm raising this. The violent eruption injected an unprecedented amount of water directly into the stratosphere, and the vapor will stay there for years. The massive amount of water vapor is 10% of the normal amount of vapor found in the stratosphere, equaling more than 58,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools. That's been shot up into the stratosphere. It's crazy.
That is crazy. And you're right. If you look at the totality of across the country, there have been some extremes this summer, so I'm not disputing that.
No, sure. Right? No, absolutely.
I guess... You know, we all my weather radar around no pun intended around here. You know, the weather hasn't bothered me this much here this summer. But yeah, around the country, there's some strange things going on.
There is
that is odd.
Now, all of this to say, why are we spending $400 billion to fight climate? I mean, one volcano goes off, boom. I mean, what are we doing? We can't put a volcano out. We can't disable a volcano. We can't defuse a volcano. Volcanoes are going to, you know, canoes are going to cane. And there's not much that we can do about it.
Mother Nature has a way of sort of showing us that she can do what she wants when she wants.
You know what I'm wondering, though? I'm wondering, come winter, are we going to have abnormal amounts of snow since that vapor's up there? Like, that's
well,
what I'm wondering.
And I'll tell you, it's been a while. You haven't been here in Charlotte since we actually had what I would call a decent winter snow. So,
yes.
You know, I keep thinking that's around the corner for people like you and Mike Schaefer, who are relatively new to the East Coast here. So maybe you're right.
Yeah, going to be something worth seeing. Your thoughts, because we're coming up here on about 24 hours since the raid at Mar-a-Lago. What's your big takeaway from this event? I know you talked to Mick Mulvaney on your program today. What's your takeaway on this thing?
You know, I mean, obviously we still have to wait. And I was also talking to Bill Graham and Chris Swecker this morning, you know, just about the investigation. And the simple question of when will we know and what will we know at all? You know, this is a DOJ investigation. You know, there is obviously added intrigue and heightened angst, no matter what side you're on across the country, to know what's going on here. But I do wonder what exactly we will know anytime soon about what they actually, you know, were after and they got. We've gotten small details about that, but that's what it really comes down to, right? Because if it ends up being something inconsequential or seemingly inconsequential, because I read several articles today that said basically if this ends up being a whole lot of nothing, then Donald Trump may have just been basically handed the nomination, because this is going to fire up his base in a way like there's no before. It will, no matter what, because of the sort of ire of last night. But you and I both know if this is not something, I mean, this is unprecedented, and maybe that's the word that came up with so many of my guests today. Unprecedented, the action that was taken last night, and unless there's a huge smoking gun here, then you know, this is going, and a lot of people believe that I talked to this morning, this is going to really fuel the I guess third coming of the Trump candidacy, and I'm curious what you think of that notion.
I think that President Biden would love Trump to announce and to run and get in there, because he would have a singular opponent on the midterm election, right? Because it would be all about Trump, rather than talking about inflation and talking about gas prices and Ukraine and all those sorts of things. But I was talking with Kurt Schlichter earlier, who joined us in the 4 o'clock hour, and he says his guess is Trump doesn't want to announce until next summer, you know, late next summer at some point, and get active that way. So I don't know. And I am of two minds on this, because I recognize the job that Trump did as president for a first-time person who has never had any political experience per se. But I would like to see what the rest of that field ends up looking like. Who is going to throw their hats in the ring, and what are they going to talk about? That's going to be about more than a raid on Mar-a-Lago or grievances involving election stuff. I mean, I'm curious to see what other policy ideas are that are going to come out in this to challenge, Joe Biden in 24.
Well, I'm of two minds about it in many ways too, as far as what it means for either side. But and you're right. I mean, he may be in his head thinking about doing this later next year and just, you know, dropping the breadcrumbs of hints along the way. But we all sort of see how it's being telegraphed. But then last night, this action, mm-hmm. I mean, this happened yesterday morning. He broke the news essentially last night with that long, statement that he posted on what, Truth Social?
Yes.
And then a video that followed this morning. So that seems to me rather official. I mean, I look at those things and I think it's hard to believe that he won't run after seeing the way he's reacting to this stuff. But I also wonder, would either of those things, well, I know one of them wouldn't have been, but the video and all the wheels in motion, would that be happening the way it's happening if not for last night? And so it makes me wonder if that timeline about next summer gets bumped up a lot.
If I were him, I mean, if I were advising him, I'm not advising him, but if I were advising him, I would think that you would want to do a rally this weekend someplace, because I think you would want to really surf this thing. And he could do that for an extended period of time. I don't know where you'd be able to do the rally, but I that's what I would think he would want to do, because I think he'd want to keep this alive as an issue.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I mean, I think Joe Biden would like nothing more for it to
correct.
Be for him to be there, uh-huh. because otherwise, if he's not, then inflation and uh-huh. all the other things that Biden's been battling against become the center talking point.
And for both men, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes you get it, whatever that is, right. And it may not be what you want. What do we got coming up on the big show tomorrow?
So obviously the latest on what is happening with this story as it continues to unfold. Jim Szoke, of course, the latest on the Carolina Panthers and the QB back and forth. And Teresa Payton, our cybersecurity expert, and Brett Jensen. I just texted with him, and he is now on a train headed to Poland. So the long and winding overseas trip for Brett Jensen continues tomorrow across the station, including Good Morning BT with Beth and me.
Big stuff. Looking forward to it. Appreciate you being out there, man.
Thank you, Brett.
You got it. That's News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. 704-570-1110. Great to be with you. 704-570-1110. I want to take this call from Winston, who's up next. Hey, Winston, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's great to talk to you again.
Thanks.
Hey, this thing about the hurricane, the volcano throwing up all that vapor into the clouds from in the report from NASA. You know, when I hear anything from NASA, you know what it stands for. Never a straight answer. Mm. This is just a propaganda machine to put up against what's really going on. And if you give me a little bit of time, you want to know what's really going on?
What's really going on?
Stratospheric aerosol injection, mm-hmm. where our government is basically spraying mm-hmm. particles of aluminum in the stratosphere to try to cool the planet. And while it's doing this, it's basically messing up with Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. Don't fool with Mother Nature. And I'll tell you, I'm hot about this. These people in Kentucky that were flooded out
yes.
as a result of our government playing around with the weather. Okay?
Well, but here's the thing. Is it our government doing it that causes it, or is it foreign governments that are doing it?
It's All the major governments are doing it. I don't think China's doing it. You know, they put the cleared out the rain clouds for the Olympics. You know.
Well, that means that they did it then. I mean, it would mean that they were doing it if they cleared out the rain clouds.
Well, we were doing it in the Vietnam War. They were doing Operation Popeye, where they were modifying the weather. We have a weather modification program in this country. Now, we can't deny it. People don't deny it.
So is this? Are you talking? So are we talking chemtrails and contrails and all that too?
Yeah, it's weather modification. Okay, it's what it is, you know. But it is where we're putting millions of tons of particulates in the atmosphere to rearrange. Plus, you add in there the HAARP. And listen, let me take this one step further.
Wait. You're going. Wait. Are you going to HAARPville on me on this now? HAARP.
High aurora, yeah, magnetic, yeah, pulses.
Yeah.
We have the antennas, right.
So we got the HAARP going, the high frequency active aural research program? Is this, are you busting this out on me now?
Don't belittle my testimony.
I'm just asking you. I don't judge. I don't.
Do we have a program? Yes or no?
I don't know.
You know we do.
How do you know that I know?
I want another thing.
How do you know? Wait, hold on. How do you know that I know?
You've been going on the InfoWars website.
Whoa. Hold on. Wait. Who? Wait. Hold on a minute. Wait, did you say go to InfoWars? Did you just tell me to go to InfoWars?
I want to know, in the past week, have you done any show prep from that website? Yes or no?
Well, I have to admit something to you. Are you ready for me to admit something to you?
Yes.
Winston, it's great to be with you. You know, people don't believe what I put out there, and as a result, they have a lot of questions. So I am him. Ask me anything. Go.
Do you want a cough drop? Would it help your larynx? This, you know. Hey,
no.
Listen. What about the low levels of the rivers, the Mead Lake, Hoover Dam? They can't get the barges up.
Okay, okay, okay. So I want to.
The Danube is running dry.
Because the frogs. We know what's happening with the frogs. Listen.
Get serious.
Rainwater. Listen to this. I'm going to give you a real story from Europe, okay? Everybody knows if you get information on science out of Europe, it's important stuff. So I'm not goofing with you, man. I'm being totally straight, okay? I promise I won't make fun of you. Listen. Rainwater. Now listen to this. This is a real story, Winston. A real story. Rainwater. Almost everywhere on Earth now has unsafe levels of forever chemicals, according to new research. Per and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS, are a large family of human-made chemicals that don't occur in nature. They're called forever chemicals. Do you know what they use them for? They use them for non-stick and stain repellents on your clothes. They can also be in your household items like food packaging, electronics, cosmetics, and cookware. But what happens is once it gets into the water, you can't get rid of it. It's like you cannot get rid of it, but for some certain things that you can try to do. As a result, you can't drink rainwater anymore because this stuff is going to like bond with your guts.
Is it going to make me homosexual if I drink more?
Hold on. Wait, what kind of question? What are you asking? Like, I'm some kind of doctor?
The frogs are going gay. The frogs are going gay. We're going to all go gay.
Wait a minute. I didn't say anything about the frogs being gay. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be made fun of. I mean, come on, Winston. This is out of control.
Get serious.
You're telling me to get serious? You just bombed me with gay frogs. I mean, come on. I mean, there's a war on for your mind.
Were you at the InfoWars site in the past week? Tell your audience.
I wasn't. I don't go to InfoWars, man, because I'm a man of peace. Okay, I'm not part of the InfoWars.
You gave me a lot of runway today. I do appreciate it. It's been a great show.
Oh wait, he's grading it now. Okay, what was your favorite part of the program today, Winston?
I like the Mark, when Mark calls in from Kings Mountain, we go way back to WCGC about 25 years ago.
Look at this.
I did man the mic there at the radio station for a rare studio appearance. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a host throwdown? Like you guys all got together, you had like a host rumble, disagreed on stuff, and kind of mixed it up a little bit?
I think we passed the bong around there at the
beginning. Oh, no, yeah. No. NDT, no drug talk, no drug talk. Wrong number. 704. And now comes the information portion of the programming day.
You've had an interesting last half hour.
Wait, what are you thinking about this, Mark? We're full service on this program, and we will talk about the issues that are most important to the listeners.
Well, that's good.
What do we got coming up on Charlotte at 6?
We've got quite a show coming up. We'll start with Congressman Dan Bishop, GOP congressman from Charlotte. Like many Republicans, he is outraged on the Trump FBI raid. We'll tell you some things about that.
Mm-hmm.
The epicenter, the epic fail for Uptown shopping is on the auction block today. We'll talk to one of the last remaining merchants there who's like, this didn't work.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, get ready.
Mm-hmm.
At 6:23.
Yes, sir.
By the miracle of technology, we will talk to our Brett Jensen, who is on the train rolling out of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, he's on a train that has nothing but sleeper compartments in a little cubicle sharing four bunks.
That's how you get to know people very well, Mark Garrison.
Well, spoiler alert, uh-huh. He's with three women.
No. Wait a minute.
Yes, this
by their choice or his choice?
I think it's the luck of the draw.
Luck.
So to speak. And anyway, we'll find out what Brett's up to.
Okay, I can kind of picture him sitting there and chatting with them. And
I can too.
And I can see him with like a pipe, you know, and a monocle. I mean, he's got a monocle over his eye, and he's got a pipe.
Charming these ladies, and they will go, "What's wrong with this America?"
I do say.
Yeah.
Do you have any Grey Poupon?
So we'll have a conversation with Brett.
That's gonna
on
be
the
cool.
Train. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's not bad.
Hey, listen, it's better than with some 400-pound guy.
In the summer,
yeah.
In winter, that's a source of heat on those trains.
I think everybody gets their own bunk.
Can you imagine? I'm sorry, you paid for coach.
That's right.
You got three
sleep
across.
With that guy. Yeah.
You got three across. Your head can be at the end of the bunk, and then the legs are just hanging down. That's what it is. All right, Mike, I'm looking forward. Now, I am ready for this show.
And at 6:35, Dirty Restaurant Tuesday, tell you about a Waffle House that was so bad it had to close.
How can that be? It's a Waffle House.
Well, that's what TJ said, but we'll tell you.
It's batter and heat. Similar to the compartment Brett Jensen is in. I don't even know what that meant. That was just weird. That was a weird commentary on the day.
Mark that for a promo.
Let's do that. Yeah. Mark Garrison, looking forward to Charlotte 6. And then Ed Billick is going to be in on Breaking with Brett Jensen. Sharon Thorsland. With Sharon Thorsland. Okay. See, what they're doing right now is they're doing pantomime to me because I have headphones on and I can't really hear them. But that's what we've got going on. Sharon Thorsland and Ed Billick. That's coming up on Breaking with Brett Jensen. I mean, my gosh, you know what broke with Brett Jensen last night? You know what broke last night? The raid. So we may hear about another raid. You never know. Then there's this, a strong-stomached California man broke a Guinness World Record by wolfing down 17 ghost pepper chilies in 1 minute. Holy cow. That's going to do it for me. Thank you to TJ and Tommy and Boomer and Mark, Bo Thompson, Anna Erickson, and each and every one of you. Mandatory listening straight ahead, Charlotte at 6, and then Breaking with Brett Jensen. I'm Brett Witterbull, News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Make you feel better. The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly, and everything is all right.
Get serious. Is it going to make me homosexual?
What?
Frogs are going gay? The frogs are going gay? We're going to all go gay.